Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Wednesday evening, on our way to 10 years of the tree. March 9th will be our anniversary, and we appreciate everybody sitting and checking us out. Anyway, good evening, good evening. Welcome. As it's hump day, you'll know what that means. Time to get down and serve up the hump day buffet. My name is Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, or Total Music Concepts, LTD, and welcome to Soul Tree Radio and the World. We got an interesting menu tonight. I have to premise my intro with a little edit that a colleague of mine has moved on and become an ancestor. His name is Wendell Simpson. Wendell and I collaborated on several pieces of work for the Philadelphia Tribune. And I feel in the time we were together, we did some serious damage there. I don't know what his cause of death was. I'm just hearing from a mutual colleague, Larry Miller. But I hope brother is at peace now and that he will continue to carry on and uplift us all as an ancestor. Anyway, having said that, welcome. As we come from all different places. The assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network, online using their talents to provide you with information that you can use. And you know what we say. Once y'all know, you can't say you don't. Shout out to our little sister Rhonda, who is killing it. We're a lot of surfwear from Black Girls Surf. You know we love you, sis, and keep on keeping on. And the rest of the Brotherland Network, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, Professor Fred in North Kakalaki, Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, doing as Oba do. He's probably left Super Bowl 56 by now. And, of course, the rest of us when we sit down and get down. Now, having said that, let me go around the world in 80 seconds. Two little short dick men trying to decide the fate of the world and everybody try to pay attention to them while they scare us all with blowing us the fuck up. You know what we know about white men. They would rather destroy all of it than share any of it. So nothing new along those lines. And in addition to that, everybody else is grabbing their ass because of them. Well, we knew this, and we told you this. For about 8 years, we've been saying, the world's getting darker, and as the world gets darker, agendas change. Don't think that an American conspiracy theorist that these viruses came up out of nowhere. There's a lot of meat in that sandwich, and I'll leave it at that. Having said that, men on the MIG line are here, Kathy McClain and Gary Norris Gray, and I want to hear what they have to say. Good evening, gentlemen.
Are you talking about the NFL or are you talking about the war? I'm just trying to...
Are you talking about the Olympics? Are you talking about the Oakland? What are you talking about, Michael? We are talking about a whole lot of stuff tonight, but for now, let's start with the Olympics. You know,
Before we do that, we got to do this.
All right.
BlackAthlete.com. Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq. Football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Okay.
All right, and so we shall reflect on this question. Should the Olympics be finally done with? We have seen political situations manifest themselves in terms of disqualifications, cheating, outright cheating, like with the fences, and other incidents which supposedly scrape at the moral compass of what the Olympic Games are supposed to be about. Now, last Olympics, in summer, a young sister, Shikari Richardson, was subject to serious character assassination as the marquee event of the Summer Olympics, which is the 100-meter dash, excuse me, given a whole different spin because her mom passed away. She smoked a joint, and they said, you can't run. Now, they didn't just say you could run for that event. They said, you're out for the whole games. All right. Fast forward to winter, and a 15-year-old kid from Russia, Kamila Valieva, tested positive for three, not one, not two, as Gary would say, but three heart drugs. Now, she was tested in December of 2021. So there's plenty of time for somebody to say, your ass is grass. Or if they were going to do what they do in the NFL, they test you at random, and if, say, a dirty test came up, you'd get tested the next day or the next week or whatever to make sure you weren't riding dirty. They did not do that. On top of the fact that they let her ass go, she was declared eligible to compete in spite of the fact that she tested positive. Now, what in the wide world of sports is going on here?
Michael, where is it being played?
Yeah, in China.
Who are the allies of China?
Yes, we know they're like rocking and rolling.
And this old thing, okay? If I am an African-American, I'm done. I am done with the Olympics. I'm done because the double standard is so blatantly clear. What more do you need to know?
Yeah, there's some meat in that sandwich. Tony, what do you say?
Oh, absolutely. The Olympics are a farce. Let me rephrase that. The Olympics have been a farce. This just adds even more to it. And the fact that they would allow her to compete, but she can't medal. But see, shouldn't someone be reading the Olympic Creed at this point in time? The thing that they always make such a big thing about during the opening ceremonies, where they have somebody read the Olympic Creed. Apparently part of the creed is, well, if I can, help make a couple of bucks too, for my country,
right,
or the host country, I can do that as well. But yeah, it's nothing new.
Yeah,
it goes back to when Jesse Owens was snubbed by FDR when he came back home. Prevailing story is about how Hitler snubbed him. And he got snubbed more when he got back home than anything Hitler did.
That's true.
That doesn't play into the narrative. You always have to. And look, I'm no Nazi supporter, Christ sakes, but the whole prevailing thing about how Hitler was so bad to him and all this other stuff. Trust. FDR and the other Americans truly told Jesse which ass to kiss when he came home. Enough with the false narratives. It's just let you know that it's business as usual in Olympic land. And what's kind of funny to me is that. It just prevails in all of the sport, especially in the Olympics. And see, the crazy thing is, they don't know what kind of damage that they're doing to this kid. Because see,
she's, in a sense,
she's getting like the Jennifer Capriati, the Nadia Comaneci, and that
kind of thing,
where they're literally going to be burnt out before they're 20.
That's right.
But wait, guys. Kamala Valieva will survive. I'm going to tell you why she survived. She will survive because of the cover of her skin.
They will support her all the way to the end.
No matter how bad this is, they will support her. But
if her end comes at 21, then what? I get what you're saying. And again, I'm not trying to defend this woman, this child. But no, this
well,
is this
okay.
Is,
okay.
Not,
let me
not,
let me
say
it another way.
They're not. Let me finish, guys. They're not helping her in this.
Jerry Curry Richardson got blasted. Jerry Curry Richardson.
You're preaching to the choir. That's
amen.
That's obvious. But we also cannot forget the fact that this girl's being exploited as well. Maybe not on the racial, but she's exploited. So in many ways, she's sort of being exploited more.
To push that false narrative
of the dominant Russian. Why do you think they're one potato chip away from trying to blow Ukraine off the earth? This is all part and parcel. And again, I don't say that to dismiss the racial with the obvious racial double standard here. And yeah, they may, she may quote unquote be embraced to a certain extent, but in the long run, it's going to hurt her as well, and even more so, I think, because of her age. Because of her age, to be honest with you, I think they're able to get away with more because she is so young. Because you would think that when I first heard of this, the first thing I thought of was, where are the parents?
Yep.
Where are the parents?
In a communist country, the government tells you you're going to be X, Y, and Z.
So that's
part of it, too, where the government is involved in very heavily.
Sure. I agree, Gary, but you got to remember, just, and I'm glad Tony brought up Jennifer Capriati. You know, you can set the world on fire one moment and then be burnt out the next. We all saw what happened to Capriati. When she was 13, she came in, she was playing well. Her parents pimped her little ass out, and by 23, she was no more good. Seriously, she was a burnt shell of herself.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen to this young lady at 21 or 23, but I got to say that she's fitting their scenario of what the Olympics wants. And we got to remember, the Olympics as an event, this is way back from the days of Sparta and Athens and whatnot. We're talking straight racial superiority. That was the goal. Because the assholes who created this nonsense, they're all aligned with the so-called nonsense of eugenics. And it was that same premise that in 1910 inspired Hitler to write Mein Kampf. So the Olympics has always been based on some shit. We already know about Avery Brundage and what a scumbag he was.
Mm-hmm.
And we know through the Jesse Owens situation.
Don't forget, Don't forget the stuff that they did to Jim Thorpe as well. He's still
right. Jim Thorpe
his family,
his descendants.
Yeah, his descendants are still trying to get his medal.
Exactly. Exactly. Thorpe in 1912, Owens in 1936, the track team and the brothers in Mexico City in 1968, all of them.
Yeah.
And they operated under duress. And they operated under the fact that a racist motherfucker named Avery Bendis was wielding the reins of power. But I will defer to my esteemed colleague from California, who would like 5 minutes from the podium, and we shall grant them.
Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, the Dallas Cowboys paid $2.4 million to members of the 2015 Skinner Squad. Gary, why did they do that? Because a long-time senior vice president of the team, Rich Dalrymple, was behind closed doors taking pictures of the young ladies.
Yeah, he's also their director for media relations too as well.
You could not get by to see Jerry Jones without going through Rich Dalrymple. Rich Dalrymple retired a year and a half ago.
I remember the name.
And Jerry Jones went behind closed doors and asked these juniors to keep quiet. I'll pay you $2.4 million to keep quiet. Well, guess what?
Yep.
Guess what? 2 years later, guess what? It's out open. Here you are. So,
that's
the Cowboys, America's team, is a dirty water again. I close my case.
Well, Mike, if they can pay cheerleaders $2.4 million, trying to basically pay a coach X amount of money to lose a game, to be child feed, wouldn't it?
How about that? Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, pay no attention to that $100,000 stash in the corner. Mm-hmm. We got to take care of these cheerleaders because one of our people's a pervert. We didn't want to admit it. Yeah, I've seen the Dalrymple name. I've seen him connected with the Cowboys for years. I didn't realize he was a closet panty sniffer or whatever the fuck he was. And the bottom line was he got caught. And you know what happens when you get caught. Right. You pay your money, you take your chance. And now,
well, I got two more issues, but I'm going to wait until after we deal with this. Two more issues I'm going to deal with before the end of the night.
All right, guys. Well, then, just to close this particular one out for now, all we got to say is what is going on in the Dallas Cowboys is indicative of what we've always said. Even with the jerseys and helmets and all the other shit, it's a job. And the job is subject to the same kind of nepotism, cronyism, lovers, favors, and other kinds of assholery that we found in the corporate world.
I got to get that word copyrighted.
Okay,
Michael,
what do you want
to do? Looks good on a t-shirt.
The New Jersey Police.
Yes.
I go a young black man in the mall. This is a call between a white boy and a black boy in the Bridgewater Mall fight. The Bridgewater Police game handcuffed him while the white guy is sitting on the bench. The white guy offered his hands for him to get cuffed, and the white police officer said, we won't have to do that. But they handcuffed that guy.
What are they trying to do? Are they trying to reenact the non-Aubrey or something?
I'm telling you, if you see the video,
Gary, this was in New Jersey, and we had the professor with us.
Bridgewater, New Jersey.
I know where that
Bridgewater
is. I know that more. Yes, I know that more. Holy fuck.
And see, my thing is, you got two guys fighting. Treat both guys the same way. I'm sorry. This cannot be happening.
No, that's not going to happen. Jeez. What's the third one?
The Oakland A's and the city of Oakland.
Okay.
Tomorrow at a meeting for the environmental impact report. If they pass the proposed environmental report, the A's can start building on the new ballpark this summer.
Now that'll be interesting. Let's see if the A's want to stay.
I got word that the committee might not pass the environmental report.
If they do not pass the report,
guess what? The A's are right back in limbo again.
Oh, there you go. Limbo is not a good place to be, but I got Radio Reggie and the professor with me. And gentlemen, I want to throw at you the question we started with the top of the hour. After the nonsense with the Russian skater, regardless of what the outcome will be, should we scrub the Olympics, period? Winter, summer, don't matter. Should we get rid of the Olympic Games?
I got a stupid question to ask. How much money does NBC get in payout advertising for the game? Anybody know?
I think it's in like the billions or so for the rights. They have it for the next, I believe.
They got it for
the next
four or five years.
Yeah.
Russ had to tag my tag team partner, but Russell, you're the money man. What you say about that?
What say you, Professor?
You all make it sound like this is something that's out of the ordinary. Look at who does refer to them as perpetrators. The young lady from the United States who was raised by white folks, but she's black, versus the other lady who is being raised by white folks who is white. Go all the way back to, I think his name was Avery Brundage, back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Basically told Jesse Owens and the other black athletes in the United States to shut up and run or jump or whatever their sport was. You know something went on when the Russians apparently can't afford to keep the siege in place, so they started pulling back soldiers from the borders. You know, maybe they're faking so they can get a running start or whatever. But you saw in the opening of the Olympic Games. Biden and most of the other people from the free world, basically, they had a political boycott. So that means they just didn't show up. Well, apparently there's something, some kind of cahoots between the leader of China and the leader of, I want to call Russia now, because they're no longer the Soviet Union. So between the two of them, because they looked like they were the only ones there, and, you know, it was like, okay, we here for y'all. Oh, y'all ain't coming? Okay. And they went on about their, went on about their merry way, as far as I'm concerned. And I ain't surprised. it ain't like it's the first time. I forget that rock band that sing that song seemed like the first time. No, it don't. Come on now. Think. When you see this, it's like you on, it's like you're on a roller coaster. You go up and down, and you know they can change the order, but of the loops and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, when you look out at the landscape, you've seen this rock before. As you go down the road, if you travel the same road basically every morning, afternoon on your way home, at some point you say, hey, if they come in and pave it, go, so wait a minute, something wrong here. There's no bump there anymore. Well, you can't say that with this. The bump is still there, and they still doing the same stupid stuff. So, you got white folks who are going to be white folks. Whatever Chinese people consider themselves, or Asians who think they're white.
Don't get me started with that.
And stay in cahoots with Putin. And, just on principle alone, I couldn't go along with him, because I would say something stupid when his name came up.
Don't get me started with that.
Because I will never forget when I first heard that name. He was a KGB supervisor or something back then. And I remember people saying, his name don't mean nothing. He's never going to amount to anything. Well, guess what?
He killed moose and squirrels.
Brett, there's one thing that really bothered me about this whole game. You have three Asian Americans who are flying the flag of China. What's wrong with them?
They're Chinese.
But they're American.
To you,
not in their eyes.
Yeah, really.
Not in their eyes, apparently.
And see, here's something you got to look at. You don't know what these people been through, these white folks. And just like they screw over us, and we ain't got nowhere to go.
We're going to China. I have three Asian guys. I know exactly what they're doing.
And see, that's within the parameters of the rules. The young lady who just think about it. For all intents and purposes, the young black lady who won the 500 whatever thing by all intents and purposes, she should not have even been there. But the rules say if the person ahead of you withdraw and you're the next in line, you go.
That was divine intervention. Hey, but Professor, do you really think that AOC is terrified of Russia?
Excuse me?
You think the AOC is scared of Russia? That's why they're not pushing this girl?
You think they're scared of Russia?
Yeah, I Russia, scared of Russia.
You listen. When is the last time Russia actually beat somebody?
That's right.
If they had been fighting the German officers versus Hitler, they'd have lost. Because the only thing they had going for them, think about it this way. They're talking all this noise about, you know, the Russia and all the power and all that other gobbledygook that they were talking back in the day, right? The only reason, if the Russian generals had truly been in charge versus following the orders of the Fuhrer, they would have kicked Russia's ass, because Russia lost in World War One, and that's part of the reason they ended up assassinating the Tsar. And then you fast forward 20 plus years and go into World War Two. Russia couldn't feed itself, although they had all that farmland they took over as part of the quote-unquote Soviet Union back there. They couldn't feed themselves. They couldn't.
That's right.
We were sending them. When Russia rolled into Berlin in 45, they were driving American tanks, riding in American trucks.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
That's a damn shame.
Reggie, it's called democracy.
It's called democracy. You just can't call it democracy because they don't believe in it. Wink, wink.
Exactly.
Now, remember we had this thing called the Soviet Union that was all powerful, all of, you know,
yep.
The only time Russia beat anybody was when they sent those Russian soldiers into the 72 Olympics in Munich, had these old grown men playing these college boys, which we fixed since then. But while they were playing
they
them college
to,
boys,
they had to keep adding time on the clock.
John B. McClendon taught the world how basketball is played, but specifically he went on tour in the 60s, because they didn't want him on the 64 Olympic coaching staff. They didn't want him on the 68 coaching staff, so he would go do these clinics behind the Iron Curtain. Yeah, he taught them how to play. And one of the things that he showed them was play with more mature guys. Don't send any little boys out there. Send men.
Yeah.
So, you
That's
know,
exactly
cause I remember when they had the Russian USA track meet in Durham, when you talk to the Russians, you know, who are you? Well, I'm Captain so-and-so. I'm Lieutenant so-and-so. I'm First Sergeant whatever. Okay, that's equivalent to you. Okay, were you in the Marine Corps, were you ever stationed down at Camp Lejeune? Because if you were, I'm sure you went into the boxing team down there, because that's one of the primary places they trained. And you had these guys who were boxing that were like, say, 22, 24, 26, had 6, 7, 8 years in the military.
They were
grown-ass men. They weren't, hey,
yes, sir.
Sugar Ray and all them kind of, you know, guys out of the project, seeing grown in men. And that's because I don't know if y'all ever heard of Charles Mooney. He was probably one of the older ones, but somebody you all would know that was military related. The Sphinx brothers. You know,
yeah,
they trained down there.
No problem.
They used to take the teeth out and put them on top of the ring post. And
that,
I gotta get my teeth straight.
But that's
totally facetious. But still, that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with. And you got guys out there who are seasoned boxers. See, only in the last few years have you seen going back with really young guys. Because when the military guys were out there, they went out there, man. Them guys, that's all they did. What's your MOS? Huh? I'm a boxer.
Oh, same thing with the hockey team too.
All those guys
were, especially like Tretiak and the guys who wound up eventually coming over to the NHL.
Larry, Tretiak, they were basically, put it this way,
they were the Russian version of Mikhail's Navy.
They were.
Within the last 48 hours. This is the remember the NHL did not send their players from to represent the United States.
Wow. That's right.
You hear what happened to the United States? You hear what happened to the United States hockey team in the last 48 hours? Mm-hmm. They're home now.
Yep.
And guess what? The team they lost to was a team they could have that with the NHL players.
Yep.
They would be playing, I think, tonight or tomorrow night for the gold medal. But unfortunately, they sent boys to do a man-sized job, and guess what? They had a nice
job.
They should be landing in their respective home town.
But,
friend,
at least the women out there have fun.
Maggie, they've always known that Fred was talking about sending our kids to play grown-ass men was a losing posture. It was just a matter of when we're going to lose.
Yeah, that's when they got rid of
the... Mike, it's not just a grown man from a age perspective. It's about maturity.
Maturity,
sure you have that one or two... Matter of fact, we got one of the girls, one of the young ladies who is a swimmer. When she went to the Olympics the first time, she was 14. When she went back last year to the Summer Olympics, she's a senior in high school now. When she first went, she was in the eighth grade. Matter of fact, she swam her last high school meet. She's going to Stanford next year.
You have some of those
who perform above and beyond what some people's skill level because they're just that good. But across the board, it's not like that. Okay, think back a few months ago when we had the Allison, anyway, the young lady who has a child and married and all that kind of stuff, who was part
Allison
Phillips. Okay, look at her running versus the other school. And then when you had the young lady from here in Hope Mills, which is just down the road, when she ran the last time, I mean, she was running against Allison Felix and all these other in that race. Even she admitted she was not only, although she's older than some of them, I mean, she's older than the normal ones are. She's younger in the head than a lot of them. And when she got on that track coming out, she physically could have done it. Mentally, she couldn't do it. And if you ever watch Allison Felix run a race, especially the 400 meters, watch how it looks like she's running the scene all the way around. But if you watch her, you can see her turn, as we would like to say, she shift gears.
Yeah, her last 200 only is strong. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And because when she took the baton and went to, you know, went around the curve and go to the crossover point, and she could drop to the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The person that was ahead of her, she always slow walks that person down. And by the time she gets around to the other side, she's burning.
Yeah. Hey, Professor, here's my question. We know North Carolina A&T were visionaries when it came to track. That's one reason why they put that world-class track in and host an event. How, in your opinion, can A&T take it to the next level? We know they got some world-class people. We know they got national champions. So how can they take it to the next level?
Well, they have finally started doing something that George Williams have been doing at St. Aug for years. You get seasoned guys, and see, you don't get, you see, part of the guys are like the coach's son, for instance. See, he is different from a lot of the average person in his, 19, 20-year-old age group who runs.
Yes.
Because he's been doing it since he was, you know, it was like he had, that's how you survive in his house. That's, you run. And there is a physical side to all of this, but then there's a mental side to it. And if you can get to a point where you can capture that mental side, the physical will catch up. I wrestled in college. The only thing I'd ever wrestled was hogs, cows, and my cousins. But then you start learning those techniques. I spent my first year getting beat and getting thrown to the floor, all kind of crazy stuff. And then one day I got tired of it, and then I said, okay, how does this really work? And once you get the biomechanics down, which sort of, and I won't call any school name right outside of Petersburg, but I was in a tournament against a guy from that particular school who, for all intents and purposes, was much better than me. He already had me locked down for a pin. And one of the rules we had on that team is you don't get pinned. So I reversed the technique, and he wasn't ready for it because literally you're not supposed to be able to do that. I didn't know till later I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Well, I did it, and because of that, I started winning. And I thought little things like winning really feels really, really good.
It does.
And so I started winning. But by the time I started winning, you know, I got like a 12 or 13 or 14 in one record. And, you know, the coach was patient with me because he was the one that I basically got drafted out of a PE class. And I went to my room one day and I had a note, be in the gym at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is history. But, you know, looking at what A&T is doing now across the board in athletics, and most specifically because people don't realize A&T went out and raised millions of dollars when other schools, and one of the problems with most HBCUs now is they're not raising money. They're begging.
Yes.
My institution included. Fayetteville State did a little bit, and they put some of that in track and field. They hired the young lady who was the track and field coach at Winston-Salem State, and since she left Winston-Salem State, we finished second as of this weekend. Same again. We finished second. Fayetteville State finished first. We've only, since she left three or four years ago, we've only won one CIAA championship.
But Fred, it's overlooking one aspect of this that we need to bring back, and that's the fact that the United States used its amateur talent, and they used it as a fulcrum in which to bring up other folks into society. The track teams of Tennessee State and A&T now and others in the past, they had the motivation of understanding that we're human and will prove we're human by whipping y'all's ass every time you line up against us. That kind of nonsense stacked up against the politics of the time, which really don't change, have left us what we have now, where we're looking for ways that we can invade situations and allow favor to people who shouldn't be qualified to get in. We got Eric Satterwhite in the mix. Eric, we are talking about getting rid of the Olympics. Should we? Yes or no? And good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Hey, how's the brothers?
Oh, good.
What's up, yo? Happy New Year and all that.
What was that? I'm sorry? I missed that.
Happy New Year and all that.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, the honorable professor.
It's been a minute, bro.
Well, yeah, never out of contact. I've been listening to blurbs, and listening to excerpts, over the course of time. And, when I can get a chance to kind of, weigh in, I'm all too glad to, take the invite. The Olympic Games, wow, is there an Olympic Games anymore, really? I mean, amateurism has long been gone, right? So there's really that lack of competitiveness. You'll never see a 76, boxing team, right, that was put together. And the jump-off, the Olympics was a jump-off for, a person named, Cassius Clay, Foreman, these guys, who was doing the pugilism, and was able to do their thing. It also created an outlet where, again, the Tiger Belt. So, underrated. You don't make movies. How do you make a movie when your first women's track team was really just nothing but the Tennessee State Tiger Bells, right? In the 60s.
Come on.
Literally, right? And so when we see what's happening right now, I don't really see nothing new. We can, get behind, the brand. It's become now a brand now. It's called HBCU, right? It's being pushed as a brand. Not as educational institutions, MBA, the HBCU, we're going to cover HBCUs, we're going to go on an HBCU tour. All these things like that is branding, it's not really, and it's all coupled, right? UCLA will never get coupled with USC. So back to the Olympics, it's not amateurism no more. It's long been gone from that, component, right? And when you had we knew who, these international stars were that were doing things. Nowadays with the doping, the drug testing and things of that sort, it's just really, and then the attention factor, no one really pays attention, to it anyway, right? And I think when it served the purpose for the brothers in the past, it really set certain things off, like we talked about the track and goes back to Jesse, right? Can anyone ever, have the impact on an Olympic game that Jesse Owens ever had? And so that era no longer exists. And so when you look at the historicals of how it was created, it comes out of Egypt, but, then the Greeks, again, bit that and created their own Olympiad because there was a fitness thing the pharaohs, of melanated descent had back in the time. So there's some historicals. But the interlockings are, that's been changed. You had the Jewett thing in Atlanta, right, whatever took place there. I don't follow it, And so to your point, it's dead anyway. The years are off. They were calling the Summer Olympics, the Games of 2020. That was blowing my dome because we're in 2021 and they kept saying it's the 2020
Eric,
game.
Eric, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that the IOC is intimidated by Russia? That's why they didn't really put no pressure on the young lady.
That sidebar about this one skater, failing a drug test and still allowed to compete, and then they do a comparison with the sister who couldn't run track, And then there's the double standard thing like that per se. It's, you know, I mean, what's surprising about that actually, though? And the IOC is as corrupt as it effing comes. I mean, you know, when you look at who's running the IOC and run their background, I mean, they've done fraud, bamboozlement. The way that these cities bid on the Olympics is just straight gangsterism. The way the under-the-table money, you know what I'm saying, under-the-table money. I mean, the Olympics is just trash. I mean, I haven't watched maybe 1 hour of Olympics in the last five Olympics for that reason. You know, I mean, who wants to watch the NBA, you know, NBA players, you know, beat up on Belgium? I mean, what kind of shit is that? You know, and then, you know, you got the transgender factor. I mean, the whole thing is convoluted as F. And so they'll always have it because there's too much money involved. As far as, like, to your point, you know, Russia, to answer that specifically, the bear, per se, you know, I mean, they were not even part of what, the 80 Olympics, you know, because of Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
Right, because the Olympic Games were going to be spread over there, so the United States didn't even fill the team. So there's a lot of brothers that, you know, like Isaiah and them, who could have played on the Olympic team back then, couldn't participate. You know, that's why they missed out on their so-called amateurism, because Carter used that as a tool to, you know, go to the Soviet Union. I mean, Beijing is corrupt as fuck. I mean, they're boning up every day to clash with the red, white, and blue. Building bases on Africa and Atlantic coast things and their whole African thing. But, you know, we're over there in these countries and no one is saying shit about that, not let alone the NBA's participating in the way they're getting pipped out in fucking China.
Exactly.
So if you look at it from those standpoints, the whole thing is corrupt. It's every layer.
The way I look at it
is non-participation. Yes, I'm all ears.
But, if, you know, in add to that the fact that, okay, let's go back. Amateurism.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the
average Russian athlete was a Russian soldier.
Absolutely.
He was getting he were getting paid whatever they, and the same thing with the boxers, because the number of the boxers and several other and I know some. I remember a guy that was a wrestler that was in the army. He was a captain in the army, and all he did was, I mean, he was a good officer and all that kind of stuff, but all he did was wrestle. Because when he was stationed in Fort Bragg, again, what's your MOS? I'm a Greco-Roman wrestler.
Yeah.
Really? Now, he had some kind of job, and he would report to his office once or twice a month. But, you know, in the United States, never picked up on that. But when you go back and look at a lot of those the Russians and several of those Eastern
Bloc
countries.
Right, and Mike can speak to that. Like, East Germany. Yeah, East Germany used to dominate the Olympics in terms of, you know, the weightlifting, right, when before, you know, the so-called wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally
and
like militaristic rant. And even in China, the way they trained their gymnasts. Oh, absolutely. The doping techniques, today's doping techniques make Lance Armstrong look like a saint. So, I mean,
now, how dare you bring Lance Armstrong? He's all American. How dare you?
Of course not. I called him a saint. Remember, I called him a saint. Make him
apple
like
pie and blueberry pie last month.
Oh, absolutely. Live strong. Live strong.
He can beat the running with him with a bicycle.
And as we all know, Americans. And as we all know, American drugs are always much better than Russian drugs. But, you know, continue.
Rick James can verify that. He can verify that.
It's a hell of a drug.
Hey, oxycodone is a hell of a drug.
Hey, listen, man. I mean, I hear you, Michael, I mean, on the theme, you know, of, like, doing it. But, you know, the summing, I mean, it was a time where, you know, the brothers and sisters was boning up on that stage.
That's true.
And then, of course, the statement that was made in 68, right? You know, in Mexico, right? You know, I mean, cats standing up for their own. So, I mean, in other words, that flavor, that level of how to use that tool and express your athleticism in so many ways and greatness, again, back to Jesse. Owens,
yes.
right? And so,
yep.
you know, I mean, come on, man, if I could check on, he took on, I mean, he took on Nazism, the whole concepts of all of that pressure, you know, right, taking the steamboat, they weren't
Eric,
flying back then, you know what I'm saying?
Eric,
I mean, when you look at,
I truly don't believe,
yeah,
Eric,
are you saying
I truly
the brother
don't believe.
Under duress, don't you say he ran under duress?
Yeah,
yes,
he
did.
He ran under duress, but see, I don't think anybody really understood what was at stake, because the brothers were making everybody look good. And in addition
Correct.
To that,
You're right.
they were killing. They were killing nations that were maybe set up by the Germans through the Americans, yeah, even if we're mentioned as racist ass. But the bottom line was they had done such an effective job, they had to squash. And Marty Goodman, if he's still alive, he's still bitching about this because of the fact that Glickman and another Jew were going to run the ankle legs of the relay. And Jesse had already run and got his 3 minutes. That's all he was supposed to get.
Hey, but Mike, real quick. Mike, I got to ask Eric a quick question. Okay, we stand on the Olympics. But, Eric, I can't wait to see when the NFL goes overseas and plays in Germany, where those 88 jerseys going to be at? I can't wait to see that.
They're not going to have any. I'm telling you right now, I can answer that.
That's
will
my
be
point.
No,
yeah, that's my point.
There will be no 88 jerseys. They know. But see, in the Olympics, they also knew that Glickman was Jewish. They also knew that his white teammate was Jewish. And they also knew if they got out on that track, they were going to dust their little Aryan asses, which is why they told Glickman, sit down. That's why they told his teammate, sit down. And Glickman, 4 years after the fact, still complained that if I had had just one shot to beat those motherfuckers, I'd have been a happy man. He was an incredible sportscaster, but that thing stuck in his craw. That was the essence of political. They knew there was no way they could have the Jewish guys on the American team run, because if they did, there would have been repercussions beyond just being on the podium.
And to your point, man, I mean, that's just a different level. I mean, if you look at what the games in the Olympics, was that 96 when it was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
96? Okay. All right. So, 96. It's no real memories from the 96 Olympics, right? I mean, you know, Usain tore it up for Jamaica, the Jamaica track program. He's gone global and, you know, and was ripping you know, shit in half. But prior to those other years, if you look at some of the Olympics and what came through there as the platform for the jump off of brothers to really make this global impact, is a lot different than, and I'm speaking to our populace, like the Frasers, the Foremans, the Alis, the Leonards, the Spink brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My main man, Howard Davis, we talked about a little bit. He was, you know, the lightweight champ that same 76 year, right? And, you know, pushing further back with the track. You know, what's taking place in, you know, with those field sports and the Rafer Johnsons, right, when he got that decathlon.
Yep.
It's totally, these guys ended up getting act. I think a brother named Ralph Metcalf ran back in 36 with Jesse. He was a longtime senator, I believe, or congressman out of Illinois afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at how that was a sport, how that was a springboard, you know what I mean, for years later. I mean, Coach McLendon was an Olympic coach. You know, John Thompson, and so Wayne, you know, Coach Temple, and all these power brothers, man, that brothers was putting in work for the United. It was a whole other kind of level thing. So what's happening nowadays with this pop culture bullshit and how the world's caught up and everything else and the doping and all this other issue like this, it's really just, you know, fucking a sideshow, man. And then we seen what happened with the, Biles, when she was clowning it and setting all kinds of standards that can't be achieved. Then she had the meltdown, and we talked about that with the Michigan State bullshit.
Yep.
FU, U.S. Olympic Gymnastics, we get another dig on you every chance we get. And so, you know, if you look at that, I mean, after that, right, we've seen, what's the sister that tried to skate, you know, a few years back? I think she went to Stanford. Debbie Thomas or something? Debbie Thomas, right? Yeah.
Debbie Thomas.
I mean, those kinds of things were like, Yeah, Dominic Dawes, right? They call her, you know, little Dominic Dawes when she first jumped off in the Olympics. And then when the sisters they start talking about Gabby's hair and shit and all that bullshit, you know, when she was Douglas, when she was winning. So if you look at some of the landmark things that our brothers and sisters did, we always did it as a jump off, right? Then it wasn't. Then we have a skater named Yanni who, you know, well, I forgot his name. He won some skate events, speed skate events in the Winter Olympics. A brother.
Shani Davis.
So those things were like ways we were just springboarding on the world stage, jumping off. I mean, nowadays it's bullshit. I mean, you know, the United States, you know, I love watching them sisters tear it up in the relays. And that's, you know, I mean, so the Summer League games still have some merit. You know, it's still all bullshit. It's still all skullduggery. It's still crazy money being paid. It's elite doping taking place at the highest level. They're blood testing these people. We don't know where the fuck them samples are going.
Hey, Eric, can we just say that the winter sports is for white folks? Because some of that shit like curling. I'm like, what the fuck is curling? They come up with these new sports. I'm like, who the hell can have some steel ball and have, I guess, brooms and push it forward?
Wasn't Herschel
the fuck
trying
is
to do that other shit that Bob's letting? Wasn't Herschel in the Bob
Osler
Herschel Walker?
And
then they made that thing Cool Runnings and turned that shit into a whole joke, that movie.
Oh.
You know, from the Winter Olympics and shit.
Cool Runnings.
They turned that shit into a joke. You know, but the thing too, though, you know, I mean, the brothers, and that's what makes it impressive. You see the brothers and the sisters getting to the skating and shit, you know, and tearing that up and showing the form. But no, we're not from those islands. You know, we're not from those lands. We're not from those mountains. We're not Nordics. You know, we're not from Antarctica and shit. You know, and so the thing is, those skill sets that they're showing, but we all know if a brother really wanted to ski, he clown shit. You know, but we're not into putting two wooden sticks on our legs and taking off the side of a mountain and shit and floating for 200 yards and looking for a perfect landing. That's not our flavor.
This is what Tony was talking about and has always talked about since the inception of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Innovative and entertaining.
Yep.
Black athletes can do anything and have done everything. And as long as that premise exists, somebody's going to get nervous because they're going to say, when they come in our way. And we know they will.
It takes money to master skiing, right? I mean, you just can't go out and fucking ski. I mean, you know, that's, you got to get the slopes. I mean, you know how that shit is. You got to buy skis, the training. And so anything that we could kind of innovate and generate, that's it. But, you know, if there was a brother coming up in that world, that's it. I mean, Serena and them. You know, clown that. They were growing up on the country club tour out of Compton.
That's right. There you go.
You know what I'm saying? The tennis courts of Compton. You know, cracked vials and shit everywhere, broken glass. Whatever. I mean, they busting, they shooting, you know what I mean? I mean, it's all kinds of things popping off in the regular there, and they had to focus to go to a country club environment and dominate. So the winter sports, man, we're not going to the Alps and shit, even though what Matthew Perry and his brothers went through, like, with the North Pole and shit, with two dogs and a 40 ounce and shit, Reggie supplied.
and all the
that shit is funny.
My brother, they roll up. My brother, they finding black Eskimos and shit. Like, damn, Matthew Perry left his seat up in this. You know what I'm saying? You got lineages in these places.
But right, you see this?
I mean, it's just. It's over for the Olympics.
It's been a gradual thing too, and between. Basically to try to eliminate the black athletes and also the political side. It's all played.
Goodness.
You can see people think, you know, you got to remember in 68, you know, they, you know, when the brothers were in a sense finding themselves, you got to remember they sent Jackie and Jesse down there to quote unquote calm
the niggas down.
They were coming with that kumbaya soup. You know, they didn't drink the broth.
Sure.
And Jesse always got his ass cussed out, too, but it was just
Yes. And see, Jackie should have known better. Actually, Jackie should have too, because they were the epitome of being put out there on display, and that's and I think that's what just fueled the brothers even more in 68, and then. In a sense,
in fairness to them dudes, they were doing the right thing based on their spirit, though. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
You know, we got the hindsight to look at it. Like, you know what I mean? When Malcolm X, wrote in Amsterdam News, about Jackie Robinson, his ways, his merit, what he stood for, and criticized, the nation, what have you. I mean, anyone can look it up online. I mean, that's one hell of a lot. My goodness gracious. I mean, why'd you poke that bear, Jesse? In terms of, he said, hey, I used to love how you used to run the bases. I followed everything you did, but I realized the shiftiness you had in the base pass is the same shiftiness you now have for the white man. I was like, what the
fuck? Well, he was a staunch Nixonite.
Correct.
For the longest time.
But in fairness, though, Robinson's rebuttal.
You have a episode in Raising right now. Bubba Wallace, okay, I'll tell you now, watch out for Bubba Wallace. He's going to win the championship of NASCAR real soon.
But they're going to have him go through hell,
Bubba,
though.
These redneck people down there ain't gonna like this at all. Bubba Wallace.
But you know what? I mean, do we really need Bubba Wallace?
Watch out for some more.
Do we really need Bubba Wallace to kind of like, show us that we know how to fucking help up with our cars?
Oh, I know.
And show our speed on the road. I'm just saying that from a. But Bubba, some of these cats know are shills, though. I mean, he's a front man. This brother ain't got no. He's not. What's the brother from that? What's the brother with the speed rate? What was that brother that was trying to get on the speed track circuit? Lewis Hamilton is dominating like nobody's business. He's not a household name in America. In the black community, he could drive in reverse and be Bubba Wallace.
Look at the brother overseas, the Formula One racer. But as far as the media here, they didn't really want to talk about it because, again, how much money is made in Formula races? Just like soccer.
They don't
want to
talk about
They didn't want to see that.
They didn't want to talk about him. They don't want to talk about him because he's won 7 years in a row.
He's been knighted now. He's been knighted.
Who was Rovers up in those roadways, right? And Hamilton broke all his stuff. And that's a skill set, man. You get behind that wheel, you can't blink, and you can roll your, you can float your sled like he does to the capacity he can do. So, when I think about this Bubba, even the name itself, I'm like, come on, man, this is just some frill shit. The thing is, I would have more respect for the brothers from the 70s. Richard Pryor, prayer brother that was trying to do a race car driving.
That's
what
I'm talking about.
And also, you have a guy in the 70s from Willie Ribs.
That's what I was thinking about. Willie.
That was the guy.
And the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame. And Willie Scott's in the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame here in Virginia. So like I said, my man, certain parts. Willie Scott is very well known in these parts of town, in the East Coast.
Yeah. I was speaking. Windows are where correct. I was speaking more along the line of like Hamilton across this country. But to your point,
this is
ahead,
the reason why. This is the reason why I'm making the argument to just do away with the Olympics. Their goal wasn't to perpetuate some notion of may the best man win. Their goal was to perpetuate white men winning, that white men were superior. That's what their goal was. That's what their premise is. That's what the IOC's premise is. And the brothers kept sticking it to them every chance they got. They thought that the winter sports would be they thought the excuse, they thought the winter would be exclusively theirs. But now the brothers and sisters have taken over the winter. Now, we've taken over bobsled. We've taken over speed skating. You know, we're swimming. We're not supposed to swim. Our campaign has told us we're not supposed to swim. But yet, we're doing it well. And now, in the midst of all of this, they've got to find excuses to allow themselves to bend the rules so that the people who they want in there can cheat.
Hey, Mike, what was the young French lady that was the ice skater, used to do flips in midair?
Sonia Bonnelly. She's one of the
ones. They told her she couldn't do those moves in competition because nobody else could do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
and they told her because nobody else could do it.
Olga Corbett did a flip that they still outlaw to this day. I mean, you know, on the high beams. You know, she did a flip that they can't, they still refuse. You know, to have the parallel bar.
Nadia Comaneci was their girl. They always tried to get them to her girl.
Any memories of these people in terms of what her feats are.
They want these athletes as propaganda pieces. Just like they wanted Joe Louis to go fight the bums of the month and work the camps and make money for the government and then pimp his ass out when he have two nickels to rub together. That's really what they wanted, to perpetuate the myth of land of the free, home of the brave, and put your black ass to work as the home of the slave.
Yeah. Again, I go back to what I said before. Roosevelt was just as much, if not more so, snubbed Jesse Owens than Hitler ever did.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. That's a fact.
I mean, it got to the point, man. They got, you know, I mean, I met Jesse, you know, as a young man. You know, he came to this little local youth center. That was the highlight for me, you know, because he was like a really dignified brother. It was, you know, it was like a public kind of a thing, so it wasn't like no intimate setting, but what he represented. I mean, when this brother had to go and start racing horses for fucking money, fucking undignified ass bullshit.
Yeah.
Racing effing horses. Literally.
Yeah.
That's where that whole amateurism thing fell apart. Because the young lady who was a thrower, I want to say she was from UCLA. When she came back from the Olympics in, I want to say, 64, she found that her apartment had been rented to somebody else, and her furniture and stuff, what was left, was out on the lawn.
Damn.
And part of it was in the trash. But she couldn't, you know, because I have a nephew that we're working with now who's a budding and up-and-coming basketball player. And then one thing, we can take no money, no nothing from nobody that you don't know.
That's right.
And if you know them and they're certain people, don't take nothing from them. Because there's still that farce of amateurism, although it's not realistic. And when you guys got, you got guys out here who are going to some of these different sports academies and basketball or football schools and all that kind of nonsense. It's costing them $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 a year to go to these schools, but they ain't got no money. But they go because they're giving, quote, scholarships.
Yep.
Well,
Yeah, signing day,
It's just another layer of the nonsense that's part of that has become the basis for sports. That, back in the day, the Tiger Bells would tell you quick, hey, we won gold medals and all this stuff for the United States, and still had to go to Cornfield to pee because they wouldn't let us use the bathroom at service stations and so forth. And I say,
damn shame.
No, that was their reality. Yeah, it is a shame, but it was still the reality.
I mean, the state of Tennessee, who boosted all those monies for years for financing, right, that were on the hook for millions of dollars to this day because they were funneling all the cash to University of Tennessee and shortening the HBCUs, right? So they're still waiting for that lawsuit to meet out. That was during the time frame these sisters were winning gold medals.
Eric, now the state of Tennessee has raised $25 million to keep kids in state. That was on ESPN today. So I guess they call themselves doing reparations.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And everything that Brother Fred was speaking to was when these people were collegiate, still active, not getting that money. They didn't build a new fucking track on that campus after winning gold medals, right? Or something off.
I'm talking about what they're doing now. They got a slush fund now of $25 million of what they're trying to raise
A lot has flipped in 2022 based on the consciousness and formats like this. Black Athlete Sports Network, people speaking to intelligence and things of that matter, it's what's driving this engine, because whatever's like I said, I've mentioned many times, and you look, I don't think there'll be much argument because there really isn't one. Coach McLendon is more known now than he was ever known when he was alive.
Amen. And that's sad.
If you look at it, but see, it goes back to the premise again. They didn't give a fuck. They was going to do their thing no matter what. They weren't looking for your props or your Big 12 or your whatever your TV contract bullshit. They weren't looking for that bullshit. They were standing on their own dime. And I've been around these brothers, man, growing up and seeing the mentalities and attitudes that they had. They had so much pride just within their own accomplishment and what their peers thought than they ever did give a fuck about white media and their form of approval.
Amen.
And over the course of time, the accomplishments were such, you got to bear witness. You have no choice but to bear witness and write record books and update and do all these things. But they laid that legacy down because they fucking walked it like they talked it, and they came from the heart, and they was building legacies not for themselves but also for their descendants and anyone of our diaspora. That was the mindset. Okay. And they just felt like we on a fucking mission to do that, and we don't need you to really prop us up or give us a fuck. So when I hear these things about, well, dude, what's that book? Did Black Magic do anything? Well, if these brothers didn't put in the work, whoever worked with Black Magic don't have a fucking show. You have format. But these brothers are the ones who put in work, so they can't encapsulate in a 10-hour series. They need to do a 100-hour show, for 2 months in a row for them to even emulate what took place. But if they had not set it off, none of these niggas got a show to write about or broadcast about or talk about. You have to have the work in first before you can create the storyline. So the work was done, and then people come in and weigh in. And how can they ever really weigh in when the people who already laid it down? But that's the point.
Exactly. I'm still waiting for somebody to say, shut the fuck up. When they try to imply that Steph created the four corners offense. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want shut the fuck up moments that just say, boom, that's the end of the argument. Drop the mic. Leave us. Move on. We haven't had
that. Jay Gaithers and all these brothers. And we know something. You'll be breaking up things about hockey. T-Mac be tapping into, the blank baseball concepts and things of that sort. And when we start talking about and looking at those particular storylines, there's so much depth there. Brother Fred's written tomes, man. Tomes of data. Tomes of books. So everything we see now is such a watered-down version no matter what.
Absolutely.
And see, Eric, one of the things you need to, that we also need to look at when we go back that far, when Coach Mack and Coach Gaines and, you know, they didn't have so much of a pipeline, so to speak, but the pipeline they used, they maximized. They were never
to the fullest.
Coach Mack is. I've talked to you, and Coach Vaughn is gone now. He was one of the last of the proteges from Coach Mack from back in the old school of CIAA. But you know, Coach Mack was such an astute teacher. He thought it was unfair to beat a guy and then not tell him what he did wrong. So Coach Vaughn was one of the ones that they played a game one night. Coach Vaughn said, "You beat me so bad I want to cry." And he sat down while the guys were getting dressed. He sat down and just told them, "Okay, this is what you need to do. This is your strength of your team. These are the weaknesses of your team, and this is how you need to play." And a few years later, he eventually won the CIAA. But then he was at Elizabeth City, which is still an out-of-the-way school, but he felt it was his duty to teach up because quiet as it was kept, Coach Gaines was not a basketball player, so he wasn't a basketball coach until he got beat by 42 points.
Yeah. Morgan State. Yeah, Morgan State.
I mean, that's a great picture in their youth of Coach Gaines and Coach McLendon. Back in the day, you know, them coaches would wear football pants, you know what I'm saying, at practice. And there's a picture of Coach McLendon and Coach Gaines in their football pants and that basic gray sweatshirt top that's so old school and classic at a football practice in their youth.
And don't forget the leather helmet, no face mask. Leather helmet, no face mask.
But those guys could sit down and do things after a game that they won't do now, whether it's black or white or black and black.
You sure to hope the hell Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's ass is listening, because if he talks about LeBron James one more time, go ahead and break his all-time scoring record. Crush that thing. Crush that damn thing.
Oh,
crush
God.
That
here crush we that go. Here we go.
But oh, see, God. See, here's something that's overlooked with that. Coach, you go all the way back, most of the best scorers are not today's players. Think about Earl Monroe's single season record has stood what, 50 years, 55 years now.
I was showing my nephew sometime because I have to talk to him
so he can talk to me. So he won't let stuff slip out for his mama kill him. But at the same time, I tell him, okay, back. I think your ability to shoot three-pointers is good for today, but on a greater stage, it's meaningless because these guys were shooting three-pointers 50 years ago, but they were not getting credit for it because they didn't have three-pointers until the 1980s, because they didn't even have it in the pros until the late 70s.
True. Well, you know, Will averaged 15 foot of 100, and he never made a three-pointer in his life. We talk about great scorers, right? You know, he's got 71 NBA records right now, 68 on his own.
Hey, let's not forget, both champions to jump on the foul line and put it in the basket.
And they outruled it. Yeah, Tex Winter's punk ass. Tex Winter's punk ass was the head coach of Kansas State, and he went to a game and he literally said he seen Will take off in the middle of the free throw circle, which is a little bit beyond the free throw line, and just bang one. And they came up with a rule where he couldn't do it, and they came up with a couple of rules to outlaw. And Will kind of mentioned in one of his books about this one coach, and I was Tex Winter, the so-called triangle creator of the Jordan Bull eras, right? Who ran that offense. But he seen Chamberlain come out there, that's it. And then they also got rid of Fog Allen, who recruited Will, you know, forced him to retire early. So they gave him a whack-ass coach to follow up. So that was all that shut down Chamberlain, even though he was still winning the high jump. He was still winning the 400-meter dash out in the track. He was winning the shot put and then going out hooping on these fools. And then spinning some music, he was spinning some music for the Kansas City. And then while that was going on, he was sliding over to the CIAA National Championship to watch Coach McLinda's team run roughshod over everything out there.
Yeah.
Facts.
This is what makes the Olympics obsolete. So why would they even continue to try to perpetuate that it's a fair contest where the best person wins? And that's not what they want.
I always use the analogy, and bear with me if you can, the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. If you've ever seen the movie, and if you remember how it ends, it says, "Do you want to believe the real, or do you want to believe the myth?" And with the Olympics, they rather believe the myth. Of the whole, stronger, faster, all that other stuff. I mean, that whole thing has been blown. That thing has been blown.
It has been said.
The thrill of victory, the agony.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And see, the thing of the sad thing is, though, it's not just the Olympics. It's all, to a certain extent, a lot of our core, and we talk about it all the time. A lot of our quote unquote favorite sports, they have this whole, they still try to play the whole mythos. But when you have this 24/7, 365 feeding frenzy, the myth dies a slow death pretty much every night of the week. When if you read the paper or watch the highlights or watch the games or what have you.
Hey, let me. I have to ask the question. Tony Dungy, story, said the last 5 minutes. I mean, the 56 minutes of the Super Bowl officiating was great until like the last 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, the red flag comes up. Mike, who was the gentleman that wrote a book about how they fixed the Super Bowl back in the day that you interviewed?
Burroughs. His last name was Burroughs. The book was written in 1971 and was entitled "They Call It a Game," where he sets up WWE-type scenarios.
Now, here's the question. Going back to that Super Bowl, it took the Rams 9 downs to score a touchdown. You can tell somebody that built a $5 billion playpen in L.A., they was going to make sure they didn't lose that game. When Tony Dungy, of all people, come out and start speculating, son, there's some meat in that sandwich, as Michael said.
Who spiked his coffee?
The National Football League. Once L.A. to be a money maker, how do you do that? You have a winning team in Los Angeles. The L.A. Rams.
Let's keep that 100 on the Los Angeles football market. When San Francisco went there to play in the NFC Championship game, Kroenke,
that's right.
Gangsta Kroenke, said anyone that had a zip code outside of Los Angeles couldn't buy tickets.
That's
of course,
right.
That didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the San Francisco fans, you know, that's a one-hour flight, you know, on Southwest,
right.
45 minutes
Eric,
and shit.
Eric,
to get to
that's
LA.
Right.
You know,
Eric,
and so,
he will be known that he will be known as Suge Kroenke of now after winning the Super Bowl.
Jeff Rowe. You know, I mean Inglewood. I mean what did they say in what did Tupac say in California Love? Inglewood. Always up to no good. And that's exactly what they're doing where that stadium's located.
Yes.
California Love. So the whole
You mentioned earlier the Niners played the Rams in Inglewood over 50% of their fans were San Francisco in their arena.
Came in there. Pittsburgh came in there with 70-30 Steelers fans.
That's
and
right.
So it was 50-50 Bengals fans. So, Kroenke, back to Kroenke again. This mofo literally shut down any tickets bought that was outside of the Los Angeles zip code region could not be purchased. And they held you there for a minute. But guess what? Right before the game time, they only had 25% LA ticket fans. And then Frisco came through again. So that was a San Francisco 49er home game, that NFC championship game. It was almost a Cincinnati Bengals home game. So now, there was 112, you know, how they do these ratings. It was 112, you know, viewers for the Super Bowl. The L.A. market for watching the game had the lowest market of any big city watching the game. NFL just doesn't fly in Los Angeles. That's why for many years there was no
team. This is a testament to this stubbornness. They made money hand over fist for 20 years without a team in L.A. But they just had to have an L.A. team. Not only had to have one team, they had to have
they
one
got
and a half.
In the same stadium.
One and a half.
Two in the same stadium.
Because
maybe,
see,
but that's
it's
the
worse there.
Model,
it's worse
right?
there. It's worse there.
Yep.
Well,
Eric,
the
Staples
Center model.
Right, but Eric,
the Raiders are still more popular than the Rams and Chargers because when the Raiders went to L.A., and so they're in Vegas now, so the people from Los Angeles, you know, that's a freeway drive, right, through the desert from Los Angeles to Vegas.
If you put the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Chargers, and the Rams. You know when the Dodgers
crush
every
it.
Time.
Dodgers always the Dodgers.
Yeah,
Savage
every
Ravine
time
always sells out.
Well, that's
Savage
that's
Ravine,
old money, yeah.
The Dodgers and the Lakers got it unlocked. But USC football and UCLA football, the NFL can't top UCLA football and USC football in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Right, but Eric, here's my question, Eric. Okay, the Super Bowl halftime show, of Super Bowl is Compton and rap music. They blew last year numbers away with The Weeknd, which I still didn't figure out how the hell he got amazed and got out. But what does that say about everybody hating the popularity of the halftime show, the numbers exploded. I think those are the best numbers they had in about 10 years compared to other halftime shows.
Well, it always helps that the act doesn't come back out there and streaks on the field like the Weeknd did last year at the Super Bowl, so that always helps.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Someone actually bet on that shit, too. Somebody actually put money on that shit last year. That's what got me.
It wasn't real. There's multiple ways to look at that, you know, from my standpoint. To me, it was cool, you know. I mean, you know, the cats, the khaki suits and the chucks and crip walking and shit. I mean, you know, that was an over-exaggerated L.A. vibe they put on. But, you know, I mean, you know, Snoop from Long Beach, Dre's from Compton. But what Dre's done, you know, as far as digital, I don't know how nice he would be with real music, but digital beats, he got it down pat. And that's why he came with a whole headphone set. I mean, he sold his whole intellectual property to Apple, you know, for all that money. And then they're also using his beat digital style down. Ford Motor Company. I think Ford Motor Company. But see, what's interesting about that is like with the digital you can do. So a brother like Donny Hathaway, who literally was saying when he was alive, these motherfuckers are trying to hook up my brain and download my musical musicianship to rip me off how I come up with my shit for millions of dollars. It sounded insane back. Oh, Donny's not right. He knew what he was talking about. I mean, Dre's top thing is 70s hooks. Isley Brother beats. You know, James Brown's the most sampled, so they call it Salute the Sample. So a lot of that was sampled, you know, things. True. But they brilliantly was able to do that. Someone's got to get the money, so you might as well get it yourself. But at the same token of time, that too has been compromised. That too has become a sideshow. And that too has been something that's just utterly bullshit.
And don't forget Bill Withers.
And Eric, between you and me, I will never believe that Donny Hathaway killed himself, and I'll just leave it at that.
No. I mean, Roberta Flack.
I don't believe Ron Brown died in a plane crash the way he did. But in other words,
it's all about capturing intellectual property. So when Dre did that, I'm like, motherfucker, you sold for that? Come on, bro. They're going to make quadzillion off you. So he's got headphones and headsets. It's the go-to for digital sounds because this dude is dialed in with digital stuff. He knows how to get on that mixing board and fuck with the digitals. That's a gift in a digital music era. And so, you know, they get out there, they do their thing, and then he brings in California Love because the whole thing about that was it's supposed to have been a hologram of Tupac, right, coming through, which they didn't utilize, which pissed off the people that didn't know who did that. So, you know, they cut that off of the NFL for obvious reasons. And so there's a lot of contrived stuff in that. I mean, I didn't see it as that impressive, you know, based on what we know about musicianship. And you ever see Earth, Wind, and Fire concert? Shit, I would be, I mean, come on.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yes. So there wasn't really nothing popping to us. But I look at it like this.
Yeah,
if you grew up in those communities, when they grew up in those communities in South Central Los Angeles, Compton, Long Beach, you know, and then, you know, got affiliated with, you know, the cultures down there, you know, the cliques, the ones, you know, they call the gangs, whatever they may be, for socialization reasons. People could not understand really how that culture is. I mean, I'm amazed when I see people in New York and Jersey calling themselves Bloods and Crips. That's bullshit. You're like some real strange spinoff based on what the lifestyle of Los Angeles really is, you know what I mean? And so the specs, as they're called down there, it's almost like you can't even comprehend it unless you're really around it or see it. You know, you can only emulate it, and it's a whole layer there. It's like 50,000 active sets in Los Angeles, so that whole realm that they pushed themselves out of. I'm certain that when they grew up, they never saw themselves ever going to be in the case where they were going to be a part of a Super Bowl halftime show. So that in itself speaks to, you know, an ability to come up. But at the same time, you know, they know how to absorb us, compromise us, and benefit off us. And Dre went $7 million out of NFL. Just, man, they know how to squeeze like no one's business. They don't pay for any of the halftime shows acts. The halftime shows pay themselves. Dre's paid $7 million for that set.
They stopped that about 25 years ago. You got to pay for your own freight on the halftime show now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They paid to be up there, which, again, now the word is, damn, you could have done with $7 million, you could have did this. I mean, did you really need to contribute, you know, all that money to the USC Music School, even though you never went there? There's deals being cut. When you move into that kind of money set, you unfortunately and realistically, you cut a deal. Cut a deal.
You have to cut a deal. There's too much money at stake.
Cut a deal.
The National Football League has generated several revenue streams, several. And that the gate, I'm talking about the physical gate from the Super Bowl, is nowhere near how much money they made all together. had to be somewhere within the realm.
This is a kick in the bucket.
$9 billion for that one game.
You know what, Mike, to your point, it was 131 million people who bet on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for real.
131 million. No, I'm sorry, 135. How dare I short them? 135. Not everybody was putting up $100, man.
Yeah. Did anybody besides me notice that the merchants ran together?
What's that again, Jerry?
Did anybody besides me notice that the commercials ran together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was no fade out and fade in. It was just one right into. The only time there was a break was when they got ready to go back to the game.
They were forcing that shit, and they were getting every bit of commercial money they could.
It's been, again. It's one of these things where it's been working. They've been doing it gradually. You know, you watch any of these, a lot of these sporting events now. They slip in. You know, they have these little picture within the picture commercials. And again, that's not even mentioning the FanDuel and DraftKings stuff ad nauseum, which is basically just a 30-second infomercial for the NFL. And the thing is, this year, now they were on NBC, they were on
Peacock.
Football, right? That's just another 30. Again, it's the equivalent of seeing those 30-second pieces on the schools for college football or college basketball. It's the same thing with the NFL. They're partners. Mm-hmm. They're partners. It goes back to what Eric said. When you reach a certain level, then you can make a deal. And now, basically, you know, it's like the old. It's like remember back in the day when they asked Joe DiMaggio if he was playing for the Yankees, how much money he would make. He basically said he would be going into George Steinbrenner's office and said, George, you're about to become partners.
That's right. And from that standpoint, if we go back to where we started with this Olympic thing, the marketing aspects have affected the politics. They know who to put up there. They know what buttons they want to push as far as who their propaganda pieces will be. There's nothing credible about the fact that if an athlete has busted his or her back to get to the point where they dream of one day being or standing on the podium, it's destroyed. They can't really lie about it.
Ben Johnson agrees with you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. But you know what? That's true. Look what they made him do. Look what they made him do. Not that I'm justifying that shit. But he was so locked in into doing this. He wanted to be whatever the fastest man on earth was.
They flipped this thing so many ways. I mean Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Mr. Wheaties box 76.
Nothing but said.
They know how to flip this, contort this shit, you know, mix it where our brothers was doing things to jump off careers and legacies and become like household names. I mean, Joe Frazier coming out of South Carolina, if he didn't have a chance to put on some gloves, you know what I'm saying, and go through the Olympics and get that gold medal, right? Foreman.
That's a great point.
I mean, look at the legacies they created off their Olympic career. Sugar Ray. You know, of course, we go back to Ali, you know, who I respectfully always call Ali. Of course, he had a different name back then. But, you know, he and Wilma Rudolph was an item back then. You know, and then when he became champion and Wilma, that's what they were known at Tennessee State. My mom and them would call him that. But, you know, when she got ran into a little, you know, something, you know, Ali could break her off a little something from back in the day. Ralph Boston was part of that Olympic team, too. That hung with him out of TSU in those Rome Olympics. Yep. So when they start talking all this ish about this new thing, like the new appetizer in the collegiate world and the promotional thing called HBCUs as this, hey, did you see the new menu? There's this new shrimp scampi called HBCU. You need to try that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's promoted these days. As, you know, as some kind of exotic little tidbit. And guess what happened back here? The people who were down on that wasn't looking at it that way. I mean, what's his brother's name, Sanders? No, it's already mentioned. He, you know, he already applied recently for 3 Power 5 conference jobs.
Yep.
You know?
Well,
all I have to say is that if the Olympic premise is not full of shit, then grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry, and Kim and Jenna's a motherfucking man.
A very ugly one. A very ugly one at that.
Lord have mercy. I mean, you know, but again, we don't know this dude if he wasn't a so-called Olympian.
Exactly.
One of my there's a meme on Facebook. It has Howard Cosell, Bruce Jenner, and O.J. Simpson, and he says, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Howard Cosell, and you are not going to believe what's going to happen in 10 to 15 years."
Well, look, there's some situations here where some tough love must be distributed. You know, I have to think, for as long as we've been involved with the NFL, as long as we've been involved with the field generals and wishing these brothers well, it's time to put some motherfuckers in check. So let's take care of that now. You know, I really wish sometimes that there would be a whole gaggle of brothers who would be so strong-minded that they would understand not the fact that they're making a couple of bucks, but the fact that it's not about them anymore. They have to show that there's something else to the mix where you can disprove these motherfuckers and make them shut the fuck up. To my knowledge, in the NFL, there hasn't been that many that's done it. Russell Wilson has. General Wilson has. General Jackson has. General Mahomes has. But a lot of these brothers were down on the job. They're happy that they got the spots that they got. They're happy they're making the money. But they don't understand the history. They don't understand the guys like Sandy Stephen and Billy Crowe and Marlon Briscoe and other cats who are trying to legitimize this thing. And they got lazy. Now, some mediocre-ass white quarterback named Matthew Stafford and the boy shit ends up winning the Super Bowl, and all the brothers.
Son, I like the way it rolled off your tongue, son. You're getting better. Okay. You're getting better, son.
The pronunciation
is going well.
And Mike, I hope his ugly ass kids heard it too. That's all I got.
I hope their mama heard it. Shit, you kidding me? So, bottom line, all the field generals have to step the fuck up. Don't worry about hurt feelings. You'd be more hurt sitting on the fucking bench. Now you got to play. Now you got to make them understand that, yes, black folks, we've always been able to play quarterback. That ain't our problem. The problem are the owners. And you know damn well they ain't going to offer you no job. You're not entitled to a fucking job. You got to take a motherfucking job. That's what Russell Wilson did. Russell Wilson came in. Seattle had already decided who their quarterback was going to be. They gave him $10 million. And what did he do? He said, take that $10 million and get the fuck out of here. I got this. And did he get it? Yes, he did. That's what we need to see from the brothers. Right now in Arizona, I believe Tony and I were talking about this. Young Kyler Murray, he's walking on tightrope. because his coach has already said that. What do you say?
Get some veteran talent in there.
Hey, get rid of your black ass. Don't make it a situation where they have control of this. You've got to take control of this. You got to make them say, no, this brother's too good. And am I missing something here? Or is anybody else feeling the same thing that I'm feeling here?
Oh, absolutely not.
I just wrote
now.
A three-page dissertation on this very issue. Right? I'm going to tell you something. Michael, you ain't wrong.
Yeah. It's especially now when you see the time is ripe to do this because, as Mike said at the beginning, the rest of the world, whether it be the sports world or the outside world, is getting blacker every day. Look, they're already trying. You know, Envy is already admitting that old number two is playing like number two, so that's why get rid of him. But the thing is,
that's right.
You got Dodge down in San Fran. You still have Lamar. You still have Mahomes, even though the media is trying to say that he's past his prime and he's barely 25 years old. But I digress. But not, and then you got a Hurts in Philly, and so on and so forth. But see, they still wanna push Josh Allen, now that Stafford's been handed, a Super Bowl. So now they're gonna try to prop him up, as you already started saying. Oh, he's just solidified his Hall of Fame career now. Really?
I mean, come on, T-Mac. All of us can see that Cooper Kupp is better than Jerry Rice.
Oh, absolutely. he runs cups around Rice, for Christ's sake.
And Jerry Rice didn't get engaged on the sideline either.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
You're
right. It has nothing to do with the game.
Those videos, game statistics cut put up. You know what I mean?
Also, gentlemen, you have this going on, and you have four veteran quarterbacks leaving. And guess what the NFL is doing? They're propping up these four rookies, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Joe Burrows, Jim Allen, Dustin Hebert, and Arizona Heineke. I can't forget my buddy Daniel Jones.
Horrible quarterback, Daniel
Jones. But we know Daniel
goodness.
Jones ain't shit.
Horrible.
And there's some white quarterbacks who can actually play. Their problem is...
Mm-hmm.
They're blown up in this. Herbert can play. Heineke can play. Burrow can play. You know, I got no beef with them. That'd be like if they were in the band. Oh, you all right? Get your instrument and play. We're all good. You know, that ain't no big thing. But the NFL is playing psych wars with us. And we don't want to know that Russell's got more wins than everybody inside of Brady. We don't want to know. Oh shit. War is hell, and so is football. These brothers need to know that they need to be mentally tough, and that's why I love LeBron James as much as I do. They wanted him to fail. He knew they wanted him to fail. He knew they wanted him hooked on drugs or putting word out about somebody fucking his mom or some other stupid shit, being stuck in a motel with a 9-year-old. LeBron shook all that off. And he said, there's three of you motherfuckers I'll never speak to again. And we know who they are because of who he hasn't talked to. So we know. And what has he done? Made everybody money, won championships, done good for folks, taking care of the community. He is the cash cow. And they can't stand it. And that's why the brothers know there's a standard they have to reach. I'm not saying all you guys become LeBron. What I am saying is when you get on that field, win. And then win again. And win until it shuts them up.
Leave no doubt.
Leave no doubt. Exactly. That's old school. My old coach used to tell me, no matter what happens, just remember, for the next hour, you can do whatever the fuck you want to these boys. And that's exactly what we did.
I mean, that was the Jimmy Johnson, you know, Miami Hurricane shit, you know.
Yeah.
They just turned it up and did whatever. I wanted to ban them. I ruled them. Gangster. What was that thing when they had the Notre Dame game? Gangsters versus
Catholics.
Catholics
versus
convicts.
I love that game.
Yeah.
My friend,
you know what I mean?
Matt Sanchez is going like, I'm appalled. Look at this game.
I mean, them brothers from Liberty City and Fort Lauderdale and all them other places, you know, they shredded and they clowned and they just put it on everybody, you know. And the thing was, it was because it was, you know, that kind of a mindset of like all the ish they went through, and they could deal with that. But, you know, it had some fallout like everything else does. But
do you know the NCAA punished? The NCAA punished them, right? They put the book together and they're like, you ain't getting up off of
this ground. Yeah, well, Sports Illustrated did a whole, you know, cover story. Should the, you know, the Canes be banned or, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, to your point, I mean, you know, the thing about when you do these measurements of these quarterbacks, you know, I mean, they got it rigged, though, again. They got it set up where they are in place to shut down the jump off. So, Wilson goes to back-to-back Super Bowls, hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, and I throw a one-yard pick.
Yep.
Hasn't been back since.
Yep.
You know, Cam rolls out, and, you know, they beat him into oblivion, right? He's never been the same quarterback since. Cap, he went to the Super Bowl. I mean, the next 2 years, his offensive line was sent everywhere. He was a walking zipper with all the surgeries he had. Never the same. Mahomes gets in position again, and then he has no offensive line. You mean to tell me you had no backup lineman? He just got beat down in that Super Bowl.
Sure.
When those things happen, you are not the same player the following year. It happened to Sam. It happened to Wilson. It happened to, real quick, it happened to Deshaun Watson. You know, they beat him down so bad, this guy is ordering massages all across the planet. Now, I don't know the details, but when you get sacked that many times and pressured that many times, there's a physical impact. That ground doesn't give. That turf doesn't give. And the same thing happened to Mahomes. You're going to see a drop-off the following year.
Yeah.
You cannot take that level of beat down to the fascias of your body and get all that rearranged and be the same damn player.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when they start talking about, hey, you're not the same player, I would agree. Because, you know, you were concussed. He got concussed this year, Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting scrambled like that, it's a big difference in your play. And now they're double over the top, the cheetah, and you got to go underneath the coverage, and it's just not the same play. They cut off your moxie. And what you do well, you've been studied. They totally wiped out the read option formula for Kaepernick. Wiped it out. This is an illegal play.
That's right.
Because they don't want it to work.
That's right.
That's my point. So in other words, you know, when they put these things in place and they change the rules, I mean, the NBA's been so tweaked You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where they brought in the European player and the global player, where the NBA is, what, 45% foreigners?
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's why they fly to Europe, yeah.
Would not,
and don't call it, and don't call it traveling.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why they call it Euro step and all this bullshit.
That's why they call it Euro step, because you, it's a Euro step because you got to go halfway right. It's a Euro step because you got to travel right across the damn world just to get to the lane.
That's right.
You cannot
replicate.
The funny thing about that, they call it the Euro step, right? But, you know, Manu Ginobili was the first one that kind of mastered the thing. He's out of Argentina.
Right.
You know,
yep.
That's not Europe. They tweak the tweak. So they'll take the rules and they'll tweak it and tweak it again. No way
right.
I could see Cooper Kupp running any of those routes against Lester Hayes.
Are you kidding?
Oh, Lester
no
was fading in the ground.
Mike. Yep, Mike, Mr. Blunt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Angel,
he got a stoop bone upside the head. And that was
I'm not even mentioned in the law firm of Atkinson, Thomas, and Tatum out of downtown Oakland.
If he played back then they would have arrested Atkinson and Tatum on the field.
I mean,
so that hurt that
no,
way.
If they go out here, they would not come in.
Somewhere Golden Richards missed his chance. He missed his era.
Yeah. Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
He would have been mahogany, Richards, if he was playing now.
We need to see sustained excellence. It's not enough to just win once. It's like side of your ass, but we got to do it again, because they don't understand. This is just like society. You make the noise until they come to you and they say, all right, Mike, what you want? You got to get their ass and make them beg you to say, please stop whipping our ass. What do you want? I don't think it can be done, because it was done. It was done to HBCUs, which is why none of the white schools wanted to come down there to play.
But you know what the brothers had in place, though, that these NFL quarterbacks are at the mercy. I mean, Russell Wilson got beat the fuck down last year.
The last two, three years, really.
So despite that, if you got a squad that's leaving you over, that happened to Cap. I mean, I would watch Cap, you know, since it was local after he had the Super Bowl year. My goodness gracious, man, they was putting it on. His offensive line looked like they weren't blocking. It reminded me of Eric Dickerson in Indianapolis when he knocked his offensive line. They wouldn't block
shit. Yep, that's right.
That's when he ended up with that neck injury, right?
They would not block anybody. No doubt.
My goodness. And that's what happened to Wilson. And so you're not the same player. So these guys, unless they like a Tomlin or you got a coach riding with you, are going to put the system in place, make drafts like Brady. Brady survived all these years running up all those damn numbers, him and Rodgers, because they throw these offensive linemen at them and get them these things that they can do. These brothers don't have that support. If these GMs are not drafting to back them, I don't give a fuck how nice. We've seen that with Mahomes. He was running for his life against Tampa Bay. They were teeing off every chance they had.
Yep.
And in the NFL, if you don't have a team-building concept around you and a GM and a front office and an ownership ready to throw out the bucks to build around you with a little bit of help from the NFL, it don't matter, man. We've seen it with Cam. We've seen these brothers come and go. We've seen it with Kaepernick. Now Mahomes is on the chopping block. Russell ain't been back since.
And Murray's on the fire now because his rookie contract is
done. Yeah, they talk about he's selfish and he's a crybaby, and he points the blame. That's the whole word of Murray right now to Arizona.
And Murray is a military man, right? Kaepernick was a military man. They always been going to military, but why? Because military guys were follow orders. That's what military is for, okay? So,
well,
Kaepernick,
yeah, I mean, Jackie Robinson proved that, right? All them brothers did stints in the military, you know, Joe, you know. I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson and his brothers were just in the format. Even though they're down with the sweet science, it's a different level of warrior. Them cats was pure warrior spirit, so it's a different level. These guys grew up a little bit Cadillac-ing, soft-shoeing and shit. And then when they get out there with the pressure on, that's it. But these teams can sell you out every time. It don't matter how nice you are. If they're going to build that line around you, and build the right squad and put the right system in place, get you the right quote-unquote coordinator, it don't matter.
This
that's
is
what Jackson,
right?
Same thing, the drop-off. He can't get on the field as often as no more because he's getting beat the fuck up. I mean, the offense they're running does not create sustainability.
No, it does not.
Baltimore's
no, it does
offensive style will not give him longevity.
No. Until they have a receiver that can run sixes and sevens consistently with an occasional cross, they ain't going to make it. They'll go downfield every now and then.
Yeah, I mean,
beat
the offensive line, they got Trent
Dilfer
for a Super Bowl with Ogden and those dudes. Now give that to Jackson, it's over.
Hell yeah.
You don't have the same level of offensive line support. Happened to Kaepernick. Happened to Wilson. Happened to Cam.
Yep. The brothers need to
know. That's the problem with the league. You know,
there's more things
to play. They put a line around his ass.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he can throw the football. I mean, you're an NFL quarterback, but you can throw the football.
Eric, we have to look at it like this. Until the brothers take the game seriously, we can't take them seriously. And we know it's a game.
I agree.
They know it's a game. They set the game up. But they have to see that there's other shit going on. They have to see when those stats and those results come in from the prior week that so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. And one of these parasites disguised as journalists saying about them. That's what's going on. We need mental toughness. And those brothers need tough love. We're trying to offer up some. But I'll say this. If you ain't shit, you ain't shit. I don't give a fuck what color you are. And if you don't understand the wherewithal and the size of this mental crisis, then you ain't shit. And that goes to every one of you motherfuckers.
I mean, we're always one to call it like it is. It's just like when we watched Gentle Ben Simmons, you know, wonder was he on the payroll for the Hawks the way he played in that Philly playoff.
There you go.
He can't. He has not been on the floor since. He hasn't been on the floor since because all of a sudden the league and everybody started looking at this shit. Motherfucker, were you on the payroll? This is a little different.
True that. Yeah, true that. It's funny. It's funny. Now, the Nets and Knicks were on the mouse tonight. They must have did 100,000 shots of Ben Simmons on the sidelines. It's like, enough already, will you?
Sometimes the league or quote unquote the authorities may shut you down because there's a lot of smoking gun thing of illegal propriety. All right.
Absolutely.
This ain't no mental health shit. This ain't no sit out shit. It's a smoking gun shit because that is beyond absurd behavior, the way that brother played against that series. And had his own teammates wondering, what the fuck is this?
That's
you know, shooting the fourth quarter ever? Ever?
Yep.
And see, the all thing right, is we'll now, see. We'll see. And see, if there's anybody, Mike, if there's anybody that needs to take that same thing that you're saying, It's Simmons.
I agree.
Simmons.
I agree. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to be different when you are a black athlete, regardless of sport. Now, we already know there's some things he does very well. We all know that shit. But
you don't be a fucking NBA player if you don't do them well.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, and you got to know this. And being from Compton or Canberra has nothing to do with this. You got to understand the full market.
That's right.
If LeBron James can understand that shit at 16 fucking years old, so can you.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know, if you get protected and you do things, and if you don't know how to say stealth up, throw in the game.
Hello.
All right.
Hello. True shit.
That you know,
gentlemen,
when you take that deal, and you because you ain't from, you know, you don't know how to front, like, you know, motherfuckers from the States, they fake it till you make it. You bringing that Australia
yep.
vibe, and you're like, yo, man, you're going to be the guy handling the ball in clutch time. The money's with you guys. You don't shoot shit. You find a way to not make this thing happen.
I'll never understand.
All right.
I'll just leave that alone
right.
and pour myself a drink while I listen to everybody get down to final thoughts. I appreciate that everybody came in and put some wisdom into the pot tonight. I would start off with Professor Fred because of the history of HBCUs and what they've done in track and field and for the Olympics per se, they deserve first crack at this because I really want to say get rid of this fucking sport. It ain't a sport. It's a psychodrama. These are psych wars that are being inflicted upon black athletes. They're being done with national and international endorsement. And I, for one, am sick of it. Professor, what say you?
Here we go again. Last week we were talking about people doing bomb threats. We have three more
yep.
today. And now they're really screwing up because you don't mess with that school in Columbia Heights, better known as Winston Salem mm-hmm. State University. They their game was delayed by several hours. Same thing with Fayetteville State actually moved theirs off campus over to Methodist mm-hmm. College. Claflin, I think, had a game also. I don't know what they did because you're not in our news cycle. But,
yeah.
you know, I'd say here we go again, stupidity on the rise. And, you know, but our school, we have gotten through worse, so we're going to get through this too. And I say that for all three universities because
yes.
we know what they're made out of and the people who are threatening them don't. And you don't want to be the Japanese admiral as the aircraft carrier where he was.
Yep.
When the plane came back, he kept saying, "Where? What about the carriers? What about the carriers?" And then his next line was, "We've awakened a sleeping giant." Well, we all know that the HBCUs are sleeping giants, and they have awakened them.
Yes, sir.
And I'll just leave it at that. You can get in touch with me on Facebook as well as blackheritageview.com. This has gotten to be getting a little testy because, you know, this crap got to stop. And since we didn't start it, the idiots who keep doing these things will just have to pay the price for doing them.
No question. That's www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, T-shirts, bric-a-brac. Don't wait till Black History Month ends. Put some Black History on your nightstand or next to you on the coffee table or in bed with you right now. Eric, please drop off some wisdom for us in the pot.
You said me, Mike? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Forgive me.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, there was some background noise where I was at. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned winning, you know, leaving it on the line, brothers stepping up, you know, doing what they need to do to get things done. And you're right, you know, because that is truly the core legacy. And because this is new phenomenon around, you know, HBCU, knowing the histories, which is really the strengths of the HBCUs, the current tense, yes, there's a lot of great things happening with that, which I'm with, but it's all built on the core history, right? And so I was thinking about this not too long ago, because this was earlier this year, you know, I mean, literally, you know, my first day on the campus of Tennessee State, when I went by the basketball office, there was, you know, the head coach was in there, and there was this brother in there sitting there, and I recognized him immediately. You know, it's literally my first day there, you know, put my stuff in the dorm, walked over to the office, and it was Sam Jones, right, you know, who just passed. Me being this guy that's just, you know, of course my father played and being around, you know, Skull Barnett and Nick, you know, all that whole hoopla, which I won't get into, Sonny Hill and these brothers, you know, it's kind of, you know, I knew who these people were, you know, and being a historian, I always read these books. So I'm like, going there, I'm like, man, Sam Jones, this is HBC at the time. So these coaches didn't have no lavish big office, right? Like a John Calipari, you know, a three-quarter suite or something, right? You know, basic basketball office. It was warm. It was a fan blowing in there. I can remember it like yesterday. And I look, I mean, that's Sam Jones, you know? And, you know, he was kind of arrogant. I guess 10 world championships will do that. So. But he wasn't smug, you know what I mean? But he had every right to kind of be, you know, strong in his place. And I realized it wasn't arrogant because I thought about it again. These brothers I was around, they were accomplished men, and they had bearing. You understand what I'm saying? Like bearing that they didn't have to say much. And so when he said winning, it started crossing my mind, and I recall seeing him and how he was positive and had words to say and was setting expectations. But again, I'm just like tripping, nigga. Like, fucking Sam Jones, what the fuck? You know, I'm here checking this out. And I recall, you know, I don't remember too much of the dialogue other than it being like really proactive. And I've seen him a couple of days around. He was, you know, hanging around on campus for a few. Humble, interactive. He didn't wear the T-shirt. You know, here, Boston Celtics, 10 world championships. His brother came out of HBCU, part of the famous Jones backcourt, him and Casey, you know?
Yep.
And he, when you talk about winning, and they talk about, you know, Jordan and Kobe, you know, this modern-day scenario with these players and how many rings they had, Sam Jones had 10 world championship rings.
Old school.
That's right.
10. Known for the bank shot and touch.
Yep.
You know, and when Will stepped to him, you know, behind some conflict, he, world famous, has a picture of him grabbing a stool, like, bring it, big guy. You coming this way, Will? I'm not running. I just grabbed this stool. You know, and it wasn't nothing kicked off with that, nor are we supporting, you know, clashing. But this was the essence of cats who came up through those lanes and laid it down and put up 10 rings. I guarantee you, you know, we're not going to see another NBA player ever get 10 rings, nor has anyone considered great as that. So when these networks do measurements that everything's a championship, when they do this measurement, well, how many rings does he have? That bullshit, right? This brother's got 10.
So that's because they can't compute that, huh?
And his name is rolling off nobody's tongue. When you start adding up the cumulative total and impact, and he didn't come out of University of San Francisco's national championship teams like KC and Russell. He came out of HBCU in the 60s and stacked up 10 world championship rings and was very valuable for 8 straight world championships. Recently moved on, recently passed, but I had so much respect for that man because, like I said, he was on this campus. He didn't go to the school. He had kind words for a young teenager, really encouraging. And he always left the impact. So I always had a positive feel. So out of respect for my chance meeting, be it chance or not, whatever it was, and being in his presence, it's just really incumbent about me to kind of just share that because I know it'll go wide with what we talked about here and give props to the brother, Sam Jones.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, brother, as always. Beautiful and melodic in your metaphysics.
Big G, come on with it, baby.
My appreciation.
Well, well, well.
The commanders, they're called the commanders, G. Take a bow.
This week, Major League Baseball, the catchers and pitchers are supposed to report this week. Guess what? They haven't.
They're eating.
Major League Baseball has a problem. A real problem. Because they lost one generation, two generations, get ready to lose three generations. Because of the bad strike. If they go on strike this year for more than 3 months, it's over. Major League Baseball is over because kids will forget about what baseball. A black kid's so good anyway. So the only other black kids go to the table, get this done, get baseball back in the action. Thank you. Here we go. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Music Box will have a Friday edition.
Ooh.
A Sunday edition at 4 o'clock.
Ooh.
There you go, brother.
A Friday, you know, a Friday night shindig.
Yes, indeed.
And
in addition, there will be a Thursday night post-Valentine's show called After the Flowers, Jewelry, and Candy. Because you know, Valentine's Day will get you out the doghouse for just one day. Keep on. Taking care of home. So we shall see what transpires. And just a little footnote. Just a footnote.
Yes, sir.
There are currently more black hockey players in the NHL than there are Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Is that right, Tony?
Especially now, and the numbers seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger every day.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
I thought you were going to say blues musicians, Mike.
No.
Blues musicians looking like the Oakland Athletics roster.
Mm-hmm. by the way, as an aside for Gary, They're actually meeting. The players and the owners are actually meeting tomorrow, and apparently they're going to be eating too. So you know, we'll you know, wake me up when you got an agreement.
I really believe the owners are trying to push the players over the cliff, and I don't think this is going to work.
When haven't they tried to do that?
Exactly. What you say, Tom?
What's that?
What you say, Tony?
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt Harvey.
Not the dark name.
Yeah, well now we know why it was so dark around his place now, I guess. So unbelievable. And will they chide him like they did Doc? Oh, of course.
No.
We'll see how that goes. He'll probably get more of the Ed Crane pool treatment though, whatever you think.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I'm done.
Ain't that enough? All right, everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all had a chance to sample what's going down. The Olympics, fuck them. This thing should be done. I'm tired of the negative politics. I'm tired of them assaulting our brothers and sisters. And like I said, this is white supremacy. Even in the games people play, you come to slay. You have to recognize it, analyze it, and deal with it. And at the end, come out on top and walk into the sunshine.
Sugar. Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back at you.
The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Mr. Richie Vinto. Vera, I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl who can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
I do.
Richie, I think I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah, give me Hollycourt, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, it, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
He's like that.
And that's the radio. Good night.